So what are we really trying to achieve through underground technology? Zero harm to people and equipment, increase equipment lifespan, you know, meet the current dust standards that are being lowered, as we just heard Emily talk about with the CDPMs, and reduce noise exposure for operating equipment. So there's lots of administrative controls, you know, on the long wall we wear Airstreams, you know, we wear our PPE, our earplugs, dust masks. So administrative controls are great, but it's really the last line of defense. So how can we push the industry forward and make it safer? So the current technology that we're using to make mining safer is we use a Joy 7LS 5 shear, Joy face conveyor. Our Joy shields are 35 ton lines and 42 ton gates. Our face width is 1,000 feet long, so we have 176 shields on our face. And then we use the Joy RS20S shield electronics that allow for full face automation with remote operation. So with that, some of the engineered water controls to make, you know, it safer, off of our shields, we do have water sprays. So on our shields, we've got two canopy tip sprays that are programmable through as the shear moves along the face. So you can set it upwind, downwind to come on at your desired times, length. It's all programmable. We have two canopy roof sprays and two interior sprays that work off of pilot pressure. And really, most of our dust on the long wall comes from the shield movement. So if you can get the operators to be downwind of the shield, you're really, really winning. So on the shear itself is where most of the water sprays are contained. You got 15 sprays on the body, 44 sprays per each drum, and then 10 on each ranging arm and 15 on the water boom. And then we also have Conflow water meters installed on each ranging arm circuit of the shear. And what this allows us to do is monitor the constant pressure going to each ranging arm. Since we're required by law to maintain 80 PSI at the last spray at each end, but by maintaining and watching our water flows, you can see if there's a dip in mine water, you can see if there's an operator that thinks he's smarter than you and wants to turn it down, and you can really monitor it and put in stops off of these water flows. It has a sensor readout that you can make sure you're maintaining your water pressure to your shear at all times. So another engineered control is we've got the noise reduction drums. I'm not going to get into this too much because right after me there's somebody that's going to talk much more in depth into these drums. But we do our last panel and this panel, we are currently running this NIOSH quietening package on our drums, and we did receive a 3D decibel reduction from installing these drums. And what it did, if you look on the drums, there's actually some stiffeners right here, and what they installed them all across on the vanes, and what that did was it strengthened and reduced the flex of the drum and allowed for the dB reduction. So most of our safety comes through the shield electronics allowing them to be fully automated. And what it takes to do that is on the shield electronics, it's made up of a mimic, which is touch screen or touch pad with buttons, STU, which is solenoid transducer unit, which communicates from the mimic as to activate the cylinders, an advancing ram with a reed rod in it, and what that allows you to do is as a double acting push pull, and it can control, and you can tell off of the readout screen where you are at all times. Because we're so tall, we have sprag rams or flippers, as you guys call them out here, and with the reed rods in them as well. And so that helps protect the people from sloughing, leg transducers, that way we can maintain constant pressure on the roof, and then a canopy tilt sensor, which also give alarms that if a shield isn't set right and isn't at the right angle. And then the best thing for the mechanics is the system has its ability to self-diagnose itself. With the shield automation from all of those components, what it allows you to do is adjacent control at the shield next to you. You can bank control up to 20 shields at a time, and shear primes, which is the most important. So shear primes, you can run, it'll run the shields automatically, and that way you're not relying on people to push buttons and interject and make the shields move for themselves. With that, you also got active set monitoring, in which allows the, it'll go through and scan the face and the leg pressure transducers at all the time to make sure you're maintaining constant roof pressure, so you have that needed pressure to the roof to keep the roof up, so you're not introducing any hazards to the people. Wedge points. So one thing with this is right in most mines, when they're cutting and the longwall gets off sites or the head gate or the tailgates ahead, you have to steer it, and it's a manual effort. You know, you have to move a shield in 2 inches at a time, and then the next one 3 inches at a time, 4 inches. Or with the wedge point, you can actually get into the computer and say, I want to start at shield 20, and I want to end at 176, and it'll automatically move each shield at a linear all the way to the end, where you say it to stop automatically without any interjection. And that, and what allows it to do that is from that advancing RAM read rod, knowing where it is at all times. Another great function with those read rods is it gives you anti-collision factors or features. So as the shear's tramming up and down the face, if a sprag ram's out, if a shield's pulled in, it recognizes that off of those read rods, and it'll actually stop the shear so you don't get a metal-to-metal contact and you're not worried about an operator having to interject or stop. And all of this system with the shields, it's, you know, it has 1,200 parameters. So each shield, some of them might be repeats of, you know, each shield having the same parameter, but over the 176 shields, you get 1,200 parameters. So that makes this system fully configurable to your conditions or your operating model. So this is one of our joy screens. It's called our PRS overview. With this screen, it can show as an operator when you're mining remotely, or you're mining, or somebody else can monitor for you. You can actually look at the shield, the whole system as a whole. It shows all 176 shields, shows the shear, which is the grayed out box right here in the center, your retract prime for your sprags, your advance prime for your shields, and then your push prime that pushes the pan forward for you. By having this, you're not relying on operators to move every shield for you. You put in a prime, and all of the shields will follow the shear automatically. So with this also, you can see the fault summary here in the red. It'll actually give every fault that's on the face for the leg transducers, lowered shields. So this now gives the mechanics, without relying on somebody to tell them something's broke, with it self-diagnosing, the mechanic can look at this and say, hey, I need to go look at, you know, shield 25, and he has knows where to go and what to fix and what needs fixed. And you can select every shield one at a time, and you can look at it. As right here, I have shield 1 selected. It shows your RAM extension. You can tell that it's pulled all the way in since it's almost at zero. It shows your pressure to the roof and your system voltage for your electronics. So it's fully monitored at all times. You're not relying on somebody to think something's broke. You can, it's a really nice feature that's built into the system. So with that same system, it gives you also some graphs, and you can graph, and your mechanics can look at it and see if you're having issues. So this top one will show your current sensors and your solenoid voltage going across the whole face. So every 5 shields, we have a power supply box, and that's why you get these, this nice little zig sawtooth pattern, and that's the way it should look across the face. And then when you look at the middle one, it just shows your system current. You know, you want, that is really good, normal system current. It's not, you don't have any big dips or any big spikes. And you can also look at your solenoids individually for your mechanics. You know, a planned job or a job that, you know, before a failure and you're not in a rush is always proven to be safer than, you know, a failure and now we're in a hurry. So as you can see here, we have this big spike right here. So you can tell that solenoid's about to fail and you can send a mechanic to fix it before it actually fails and repair it to make it, you know, that way it's not a fire call or a rush job and something's broke and your wall's not running. So with the shear automation, like the shields, we have 1,200 parameters. With the shear itself, there's about 650. So the nice thing with having a Joy Shear, Joy Shield PRS system is it's fully integrated into the shields for primes and allows them to move themselves. So with the shear, these are the boom modes that we cut with. So an override, a recorded roof, FX2, FX1, duck and manual. So to most people, those will just sound like, you know, just names of stuff, and they really are. But what you can do is there's a program called Gulp, a graphic online planner. And with that, you can program steps and sequences into your that profile that the shear runs off of. So like one thing we do is in the manual mode, if an operator thinks he's gonna be smarter than the shear and the electronics and the sensors, if an operator puts it in manual, we limit his shear speed to 8 feet a minute. That way he doesn't want to leave it in manual and let the shear cut itself because it is smarter than the operator. So SAM1, we use a bi-die cutting sequence, which is a bi-directional, so we cut the roof and the floor at the same time. Occasionally we have had to use unidie, and looking forward, we do know there are some spots we will have to unidie in the future. So the shear is linked to the shields for primes, and you know, not having somebody walking up and down the face as much as most places do really cuts down on the movement of people and allows operators to then have move and do other jobs that are necessary. So one thing we do with the shear automation is that we only run one shear operator. There are a lot of mines out there that still run two. We never run two shear operators, just one at a time. So by doing that, that eliminates the noise and the dust exposure to that second operator. So we let the shear cut the floor both directions. We run it off of a desired extraction height or a predefined floor that we've programmed into that Gulp program. And what that also allows us to do is run remotely. So we have a pod, what we call a pod. I've also heard a lot of people call it a rock out here, and then some people call it a command center. So in those boom function modes, one of them that I talked about was recorded roof. So recorded roof allows the shear to follow the previous cut. So you can actually have the operator go on the face, cut the roof horizon to where he wants it, and then he can put the shear into recorded roof, and now the shear will take control over the roof drum and the floor drum, and off of that desired extraction height, then it'll go both directions and cut. So we have been able to do 10 passes back and forth in a row without making any interjections from an operator and before the shear is starting or the seam is changed on us where we need to interject to move the shear. So our seam's a little different than the Pittsburgh seam that you guys are used to. It's not near as flat. We frequently run at a 1 to 3 degree pitch with, you know, we can see 12 to 15 feet difference from the headgate to the tailgate. So the flatter the floor, really that remote operation, the more consistent you can do, and you can do more cuts consistently in a row. So another thing that we have are vectors that are built into the Mimics. And what that allows us to do while we're running remotely is, and there's no operator at the shear, is an operator, if there is a small section of roof or floor that needs to be changed, he can program that right into the Mimic and allow him to go up or down 4 inches in one pass. That way an operator is telling it just to go up and down rather than having to have somebody at the shear, and that's also reducing the noise and the dust exposure. So with our advanced shear automation, this is one of our SciTech pages. So at the with the SciTech page, there's you have this same page at the shear, this information is transferred at our pod, where we have remote operation, and also to our surface. So the really nice thing about this is it has everything for the shear. So if you know, and after you run the equipment long enough, you can actually mine by the numbers, and you don't need to see what's going on. If you trust the numbers are right, and you can eliminate having to have the operator there and watching and making interjections into where he thinks he needs to be. So you can see off of there, the shear is really consistent. So right here in the center, you can see that the shear that the pass before had a 0.7 pitch, and then the current pass that it's on had a negative 0.7 pitch. So that's made a 1 degree change on its own from pass to pass. So we consistently, you know, with our seam has a 1 to 2 degree pitch changing all the time, and the shear is smart enough, it can pick it up and run it on its own. Another thing that we do for equipment lifespan, and that way we're not having downtime and stuff breaking, and to make them more smooth with the long wall, it's really about just staying consistent and moving along and not stopping and not overdoing it. You don't want to run as hard as you can and then stop and fix something and run as hard as you can. You know, sometimes the turtle does win the race if you can just stay slow and consistent. So one thing we do on the bottom here, you can see we've got this haulage speed limit. And so we've tied into all of the face motors, the shear motors. And so if any of the motors start getting close to the high amps, we'll actually slow the shear down dynamically. And as the amps go up, we'll slow the shear down at that same rate. And as they drop, it'll speed back up on its own without the operators even knowing that we've slowed them down. So that way it protects the equipment, and then that way you're not having to change parts and pieces more frequently, and you actually get a more longer life longevity out of all your pieces. So the other thing with that programmable desired extraction, so at this current spot, we want them to be pulling 144 inches of coal out, and you can see that the shear itself is pulling 143 at this desired spot, so it's off an inch. So most of the time with our automation, just because we've done all of this, all of the parameters that we've put in there and our tolerances are so tight, we're always either an inch over or an inch under. So to maintain, it's not always perfect, but it keeps us in that BTU quality, and it keeps us mining a consistent flat seam for the operators. So here's a picture of me. So when we were talking about mining remotely and we have a pod, well, the other option that we have is we can actually mine from our surface. So you can see we have a TV screen that has the 4 monitors on it, and those are camera images where we have cameras mounted onto our shear so we can run remotely. So you can run off of the numbers, but you know, operators like to see what they're doing. They like to have a visual, you know, they don't trust the numbers. But by giving them the camera angles to choose, you know, it gives them a visualization. So this is a picture of our pod. So it's mounted underground in our belt line. So it's out by the face, about 1,000 feet. So now we've removed the operator from the noise of the face conveyor, the noise of the shear, and the dust that he might be introduced by from the shields moving above him or just the shear cutting. So at here, you can see on the top, we have the 3 screens. So the operators, their touch screen, the operators can select what camera they want to look at. So not all the operators like to look at the same camera feed. Down here on the side, it has the SciTech, so they can watch all of the screens, and they can monitor as they're cutting. And they can also, off of the center one, you know, they can access the PRS, their email. They can actually access all of the mine sensors as well, so they can monitor the gas throughout the whole mine as they're mining. So they can watch their tailgate gas if it's going up as they're mining. And so if they need to slow down to monitor, you know, to help increase the production by not having to stop, they can do that as well. So here's a picture of our longwall outside. This was all the way back in 2002 in our mini build. So another thing that we've done, and engineered it. So here in the picture you can see we have cows. So actually currently now we don't run cows anymore, we run a cowless drum. So early on, you know, most people run cows to clean up the floor as they're cutting. We had a lot of downtime, we had a lot of breakage from the cows, just from not flipping, being flipped right. You know, downtime, you know, is costly and also increased a lot of risk for maintenance. So we went to a cowless drum that loads the coal itself onto the pan line, which reduced the operator risk and the mechanics risk from having that extra downtime and need to fix something. So this is one of our camera feeds. It's just a video, not a shear not running, and it's just set on loop. So you can see it's a, you can see pretty clearly, you can see all the shields are lined up on the roof in a straight line. And so you can see everything moving forward. But if you look at the next video, it's the same image, but now we have the shears running and the water sprays are moving. So it's kind of like, you know, to most people, it's just a really blurry image. But, you know, if you compare it to an ultrasound or an echocardiogram, you know, when you're trained to look at it, you can see and you can pick out landmarks and you can run off of it. Even though you're looking through a really blurry image, you can see the landmarks and the pieces that you know you're not going to run to anything. So this is an image of our other drum. This would be our head gate drum, where it would be cutting the floor. Like I said, no sprays are on. You can see everything very clearly. So for us, we have some really nice marker bands in our roof that you can see right here. So we either want to cut on that marker band or 6 to 8 inches above it. And so it's very clear in this picture where that marker band is and if we're maintaining the correct roof horizon. But in this next picture, you can look at the drum. Now it's cutting, all looking through the water sprays. And you can make out just clearly right here, here's the shield tips. So off of that, you can know you're not going to run into anything. But really, you don't need, you know, the operator likes the visualization to be able to see that he's not going to run into anything. But the equipment does have the anti-collision features, so you're not, it will stop itself. You're not relying on an operator to hit an e-stop and stop the shear. So one of the things, you know, camera technology that's allowed underground is what we have. You know, there's Matrix does make a color camera that's in use here, but, you know, an IR camera might be the next step moving forward, where an IR would be able to look through the water sprays and look at the heat transfer. So with an IR camera here, you would be able to see the picks hitting the roof, and then the ash band would have a different heat transfer signature. And then you would be able to maintain and have a good visualization. You know, so that's something we're hoping for here in the near future, is an IR camera to be actually MSHA approved to help with this remote cutting, to eliminate the operators from that, those kind of areas. So this is our center camera that's mounted, that we use to monitor the bands, because the last image was just used for the direction to make sure you're not running anything, but you can't see the bands or you can't see the horizon to make sure you're not getting out of scene. So here you can see the bands very clearly. There's one on the roof right here, and then there's one right here. So for us, it's really easy to see. The one on the roof is actually 2 ash bands, and then the one right here is actually 3. So they're very distinguishable to make sure that you're in the right scene. So this is the same image with the water sprays and the shear running, and you can actually see your bands, so you can see that you're maintaining your correct roof horizon for remotely mining. And then you can see right here where the shield's pulled in over the shear. So this is just a video of the shear mining. You can see the sheer amount of water sprays point into the face of that cutting to eliminate the dust. So, you know, we've spent many years forcing the air and all that water towards the face to eliminate the dust, but now we're working on removing the operator, and we're trying to look through all of that water sprays, and you can see, you know, the images aren't that clear. You know, really to push remote mining forward, you know, we would have to look at doing something lowering the water sprays or, you know, some other kind of air deflection to look really through that water mist. That way you can push remote mining forward. So this is just the other side of the shear mining away from you. You can see there's just as much water sprays off of both ends of the shear, so it doesn't matter which direction you're mining, it's not any better to look for that remote operation. So, and some people think, you know, with the remote operation, you know, you're gonna lose tonnage, you're gonna lose, you know, you're eliminating jobs. You're really not gonna lose tonnage. Our best month at San Juan, we ran 40% from the remote operating location or the pod. So every pass that went up and down the face was so basically it was almost every other pass. So our goal really, because we get our dust from the shields, is moving the operator as he's mining to the tailgate. If we can keep him to mine remotely, then he's downwind of all the shield movement, and then he's out of that dust. So, and then the last added benefit of having the automation is the increased life to equipment. So our shields have been in service since 2002. It's when we brought them on. We really started mining in 2003. We just currently, last month, hit the 80 million tons with the same set of shields. Some repairs that we've done to the shields to increase that life, pins and bores to the bases and the links, and then cylinder plating. We've had to go through, we've had problems with cylinder platings flaking off and not being as durable, so we've had to change the cylinder plating. And one of the biggest, and this is the newest for us, is the chain life has increased from the maintaining the flatter face conditions across the floor and the consistent chain tension. So at the end of this current panel that we're currently mining, we'll have a little over 22 million tons on one chain. So this will be our third longwall panel that we've used the same chain. So, and that's all I have, unless you guys have any questions.
So with your use of automation and remote mining, how do you manage the Bretby if no one's on the face?
I can't quite hear you.
How do you manage the Bretby?
With
no one being on the face to monitor it, how do you manage the Bretby?
So we have another camera angle that I did not show that is faced directly, and it watches the Bretby at all times. Mm-hmm. So where the operator has that option to select his camera image, so that is one of our camera images. We have five cameras on the shear, and one of them looks down over the Bretby. So it's actually mounted right next to the cable handler and looks down the Bretby towards the head gate at all times.
Yeah. And how do you get the video off the machine? Do you use fiber or Wi-Fi?
Yeah, so we use fiber in the trailing cable. We actually have, it runs right down the center of the trailing cable, so it takes two strands of fiber to get the video image back. We actually have 16 fibers down the center just for extra protection. We currently only use four coming down, but we have, in case, you know, one broke or something, or the cable was damaged, you have that extra backup.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
What computer program do you use for the automation?
The automation?
Yeah.
So it's all the Joy system. So it's the Joy Advanced Shear Automation with the RS20S.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks very much. Thanks for your time.